guys, this is the scripture over here. I'd like somebody to read this, but I'm going to just read the scripture. And we know the story behind this. So we shall be these three who you speak with neighbor to him who fell among the feet. Can you speak up just a little, Sam? All right.
Want somebody else to read it.
So, okay, can somebody in the middle read that, the scripture? Go ahead, Mike.
I don't have it.
Okay. It's just one of you.
This one I'm talking
about. Hey, Dave's not here, man.
Luke 10:36?
Yeah.
So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?
The whole thing.
And so, you know the scripture, you know the story, and y'all know this story?
Yes.
Any little background on it? Any good story?
The Good Samaritan.
Yeah, right. The Good Samaritan. So go ahead and read the rest of it.
There is a well-traveled path that we encounter in life. It's called the other side. Those who travel this well-worn highway will inevitably encounter those who have been beaten and robbed. The victims are all around us, and frankly, they are in a pretty deplorable condition. Do you stop to help, or do you pass by on the other side? A young man had been going through a time of trials in his life. He felt led to visit a local hospital. He stopped at the nurse's station on the floor to treat the cancer patients and asked one of the nurses if she had any patients who were close to death and might like to have someone pray with them. She suggested a few that he might drop by and visit. Three men were openly eager to listen to the plan of salvation, and they each prayed to invite the Lord into their heart. The result of his choosing the right side were three names written down in glory. It's easy to become like the priest or the Levite. We can get so caught up in our own circumstances or in our own ministry that we stay far away from those who are in great need. There are people on their way to hell, and we spend our time and energy doing nothing other than staying as far away from the needy as possible. I pray that our eyes may be opened as never before, and that our actions match those of the Samaritan in Jesus' parable. Blessings to your heart. Draw near to God today and be a blessing.
Amen. Pastor Reyes, y'all, most of you guys, or some of you guys know Pastor Reyes. He did a funeral here this past week. There was a pastor, one gentleman, been with the CMA group for a long time. His wife went to the hospital for something, and then she died there. Then they had a funeral there. So I called him, I was talking to him, and he said, you know, he had to do it in English because a lot of the young people, you know, were Latinos, but they more in the English. And so he says he didn't have anything like to start with, you know, said, Lord, give me something. So what he did, on his way there, he put, Google to take him there. And so when he got to the cemetery, he forgot to turn his phone off. And the Google said, you have reached your on the right side, you have reached your destination. Wow. And so what a way to start off is a sermon at the funeral. You at the right side, you let you know. And when you know, like, I mean, Andre here runs into this a lot, and a lot of you guys, especially guys that are like Uber, because you know, it's like a ministry right there. Like, you come across people all the time. But you know what, man? It's so important, man, that if we just take the time and listen, because there are people that are crying out there. You know, Mike, you know, you just had the awesome privilege of traveling throughout the country here, you know? Mm-hmm. And have you met, on your travels, have you met people like that?
Yeah, definitely. About a week ago, in fact, we were camping next to a couple, a veteran, who has a brain aneurysm, and he's live very long. And he and his wife have been living for 5 years on $870 a month. And he's depending on the VA for all of his medical needs, which doesn't always work out well, you know. But they're Christians, and they supplement their income by the wife crochets little crosses.
Wow.
Like bookmarks, and there's a truck stop right next to the RV park, and she goes over there and sells these little crochet cross bookmarks. And that's just one example of people who are struggling on a daily basis just to get by.
He has a brain aneurysm?
Yeah, he does. He has an aneurysm in his brain, and
so any moment?
Any moment, yeah. And the doctors told him that it's not operable.
Do you have their name?
Just
this couple of them.
Yeah, just their first names. I don't have their last name.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know, if we listen, there's, I don't care how many warriors, you could be at a church or a restaurant, whatever, you allow yourself to be open to listen. And I know most people are not open to talking to folks and stuff like that, you know, but if you do, you listen, you'd be surprised, just a little conversation, you know, the starts. And open up doors like you don't get known. You're gonna share the word, you know. So well, they
this particular couple, we were able to give them a little donation to help, and we prayed for them, and they appreciated the prayer more than they did the donation.
That's it. And a lot of times you find that when we were doing a lot of ministry, going to the food, breakfast, Southern Salvation, St. Vincent's, and other places, that a lot of times what they wanted was just sit down and listen.
Yeah,
have beer.
Yeah, and you know, and you don't have to say nothing. You don't have to fix something. You know, we're not the fixer. Hey, Joe, we're not the fixer. You know, we got it. And if we just take the time and listen, and there's people around us, your neighbor across the street, I mean, people are just falling down, man. So I think that's a good story over here, you know, because the guy felt bad, and because he felt bad or whatever, he went somewhere to pray with something that was worse than him. Warren called me yesterday. Warren called me, I don't know if he called me by mistake. Remember Warren? He's been to our group here sometime. Well, he had his leg amputated. Yeah, since the last time we saw him, he had both of his legs amputated. And here's a man that don't know a stranger and he's always out there. And he called, when they called by mistake or what, but we talked for a while and it was good. Oh, you went and visited him? And so, I mean, my God, this in our sphere, in all of our lives, there's somebody out there that we can that encourage us. You're saying staying in Christ is the same Christ. Go ahead.
There's too many people
will say,
okay, we're going to pray with you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Pray for you.
Jesus said, and the disciples can't stop it. If you see a brother who has a need and you can meet it,
because we can all say we'll pray for you, but if you can help somebody just that little bit, they see what Jesus
Yeah, I don't know how you guys are, but you know, sometimes when we tell somebody, you know, I'm going to pray for you, do you? That's good.
Yeah.
In most cases, you don't.
I find it better to do it right then. Yeah. And if the Holy Spirit reminds you later, that's even a bonus.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's easy to say, I'll pray for you, yeah, and then walk away. No. But the prayer right there, yeah, that's
what did you say? What did he say?
Go ahead, repeat that. Sam wants to hear.
You said it's easy. Sam wants to hear. It's easy to pray, but it's easy also just to walk away and forget.
It is easy just to walk away and say, I'll pray for you. And sometimes you do, sometimes you, most of the time you, honestly, you get so wrapped up in your own little world you forget. But it is tough to stand there and pray for somebody, especially when you don't know, it's really hard on the street to do that. And it's become a little easier for me. When I go out on Fridays to do that, because we're beginning to get a relationship with a lot of the people, and it's a once a week relationship, but they're opening up a little bit to us, and that makes it easier.
Amen. Just pass, go ahead.
Yeah, I found that I tend to remember the needs more than I do the names of the people.
Yeah.
So what I try to remember is what the need is, and therefore that need keeps bringing back up that person.
I tend to go, and I have a lot of friends on text messages and stuff like that on the phone and stuff like that, and they'll pop in there all the time and say, pray for me because I really have this problem or something like that. And what'll freak them out is I usually, if it's something really major, like they're going to do surgery or they don't know where their rent's coming from or this or that, I'll call them on the phone, get them right then and there and pray for them. And this younger generation is like kind of amazed that, oh, wait, really? You know what I mean? Because it becomes such a, oh, pray for me, is just kind of a thing that they always put. They put the little praying hands and stuff like that at the end of the thing, and you don't know. But if I don't physically just stop and pray for them while I'm reading the text and what they need, I'll call them and say, well, let's pray right now or whatever.
Who else had to handle it first?
I say one thing he does is he comes in when he comes in when he's a hospital. I was sleeping, he takes a picture. And when he's free, but he takes a picture.
Who's that? Yeah. Joe? Don't take a picture? Yeah. That's good. So you know, it's a great thing, you know, we got that we're able to encourage and lift people up, you know. And I get encouraged personally. Phil has been really been helping me here. Just for the fact of just being there sometimes, just coming and help, giving a helping hand, giving a little encouragement or something like that, you know. And sometimes it's more important than anything else. You know, sometimes I think when you can give them a dollar, you give them money, whatever, but the fact that you talk to them, you took the time, you listen, you know, what's going on, what's happening, and you know, and sometimes it's not for us to fix it, but it's for us to help, you know. And,
in some cases, just like you say, talking to them about it, a lot of times in that discussion, they can find the correct terminology within themselves. Because they're talking about it. They're not just sitting there worrying about the effects of it, not talking about where it's coming from.
Yeah, there's another. Let's see if it works.
And the Lord can work with it.
Yeah,
done.
I got one.
You know, I'm sorry.
Fritz, what are the three things that Fritz is a scripture man? Right? Fritz is a scripture man. What are the three things that the word eat or take away the word, which is Jesus? Three things, right? Know what they are, right? The affairs of the world.
People make the riches.
Wait a minute. Say it. Yeah. Right along.
What did you say?
I said deceitfulness of riches.
Okay, deceitfulness of riches. But these things are insidious, aren't they? They are sneaky. They are serpentine. They're serpent inspired. The deceitfulness of riches. Man, I'm gonna be silent. What's that one? What's another one? Hey, what's another one? Man, don't we all want this? Don't we all want significance?
Man,
don't we all want to be something? Aren't we born to be something? Pride of life. Where's the last one? This is the one that has destroyed most Christians. This is the one.
Cares of the world?
The cares, you can't get away from being hungry. That's a care. Can't be away from, I'm cold, I don't have any place to stay. The cares, they don't have to be bad. But what happens when any one of those things gets stronger than your time? And Fritz is teaching me, spend more time in the Word. I'm anemic. Because the cares overwhelm me. I'm anemic right now because I need acceptance. I'm anemic right now because I'm something. That's a defense mechanism. So what am I lacking? What am I lacking? And that is, I need the fellowship of the saints to hold me up till I can get strong again. That's the same thing he said in the apostle. The thing I got out of this message was he was led. L-E-D. He was led. I can't just zip over there to the nursing home and say, hey, girl, the son's a ski butter that I can do what God did. Right? And what am I saying is, I cannot create a ministry. I have to be led. And the hardest time is when you aren't led to just sit still, or you're going to create an Ishmael. Dude, if you don't, I'm going to do it myself. My middle name is Frank Sinatra. Is that funny or not? Right? America is built on, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to, Burger King nailed it. Have it your way. That's right. I'm saying this because, dude, I was a hair away from hell. Not choosing to be on the right side, but saying, I can handle this. When you said about losing this leg, I was probably one day away from mass infection in my leg. I can handle it. I just put Neosporin on it all the time. The surgeon came in to the emergency room. I said, you know, there's enough garbage there. The surgeon came in there, didn't do anything, asked the nurse for a scalpel when I'm sitting on the finger. The time was so important, he just went, whoop, and cut that out of my leg. I'm like, holy crap. I said, what? I said, I need some Novocaine or something. It was that quick, that fast, the grace of God that I'm walking. This isn't a glory thing. It's called stupid. Stupid. See, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to confess. I'm not going to be stupid anymore. Because I need you guys, not for breakfast. But just, are you hearing me? The care around me, the pride of life. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Chris, for coming here.
I was at a dance club on Monday, and this guy came up to me. I said, yeah. I don't know what his name is. But anyway, I couldn't remember who this guy was. But he came and it hugged me, man, like one of those real tight hugs, you know? And I just, I've been missing you, man. I've been looking for you. I said, and who are you? And I actually work with his uncle at a body shop. So, but his father, that guy that I worked for, he passed away a year ago, which I didn't know about it. But anyway, the thing that he said to me, he said, you know, the time that we worked together, you always were sharing with me when you were getting ready to get married and all that, and I was encouraging him and all sorts of stuff. And it was like 16 years ago. And so he's been married 16 years now. And he said that in his marriage, he's had some rough times, but he always remembered the things that I said. And he said he had to go in deep to bring those things up in order to talk over his marriage. And so, you know, we don't know. We don't know who your ministry to, at what point and what time that they're going to receive something. Something that you might have said, something that you might have done, you know, because ministry is not always your mouth, but it's indeed. And, you know, or just listening. And so there's always opportunity. And some people are not as vocal, or, you know, have to talk to strangers like we do. We remember our parents said, don't talk to strangers. Apparently some of us still remember that. But, you know, you have the opportunity to share and talk with somebody. But you never know that person, one thing that you might have said that kept them away from committing suicide. And today, the statistics of people committing suicide is an epidemic. It's an epidemic. People committing suicide because they're for one thing or another. And you know, you might be that one person to give them that one word that would have improved that they live. You know, everybody is going through something. You know, and some of us go through it alone. You know, remember that old song that says, you know, he was the loneliest, how was this, an old, long time.
All the lonely people.
Yeah. All the lonely people. The one that was in a party. Tracks of my tears. You know, where, you know, he was joy, he was happy, and everybody saw it, but inside they were dying. So that's why we have to be very cautious. That's why we have to be very cautious of what we're not doing and what we're saying. So, you know, so we can,
with regard to what you said about suicide being epidemic now, it really is. And I just read just this week where they said that the fastest growing segment of suicide is teenagers. And they said in the last 10 years, teenage suicide has increased by 50%.
I heard a figure yesterday that could explain some of that. Which actually, they figure only 30% of the world's population is now truly committed suicide. It's the lowest it's ever been.
I just wanted to bring something up. More and more, what we need is more fellowship. because the word, it's hard for us to read the word. It's not easy. We have all these cares in the world. I have started going to multiple fellowships.
One of the things that I had a pastor tell me years ago, he said, sometimes when you're going to a church and you don't feel that you fit, that's exactly where you're supposed to be. But sometimes you're the catalyst that's going to change things that are going on. Now, recently I started going to a Messianic service. This is interesting because it was something that Frank got me involved with, and now it's interesting because you see the Christian perspective from those that understand the Old Testament. Too much, it's like I was telling Jeremy at the bookstore, I don't want to pass out a New Testament. I want to pass out a whole Bible. Because Ken Ham, I don't know if all you know who he is, but he's the one that started that creation center and everything else. He makes a statement that unless you believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, then you really don't have salvation. You've got to believe that what the Word says is the Word. And there's too much of it out there that, you know, oh well, just remember about Jesus, okay? And then what happens is, you get these kids out there and you tell them, well, that doesn't matter, just worry about Jesus, Jesus is there. And then they grow up and they start going, well, hey, millions of years, I was lied to, okay? People told me that, you know, oh, this happened, millions of years is the way it really happened, because the scientists, okay, which they consider to be, because they're educated, the more education you get, the more you are taught the views of the world. So, what you have to do is you have to associate more like believers. And then you have to take that knowledge that you get, because the word, everything that we read in there can be twisted, okay? It can be twisted, and if you allow your mind to twist it, you can justify any behavior that you're doing. When I was a pot smoker, I took it right out of the Bible, okay? It was right there. God made all the herbs of the world for man to use. And of course, hey, that gave me, I can smoke this now because God said I could, okay? Now, the point is that if you take that literally and start to understand what it's saying, it said the herbs. It didn't say smoking the herb, okay? So, anyways, my point is that multiple fellowships are good. And that's why I like this idea of having the bookstore, because Jeremy and Zita, what they want is they want fellowships. They want people to be able to go there and find the books that they need, that they need to research, okay? If they hear about something, they need to know more knowledge. You can find the books there, okay? You can find something about what you want to find out about. The other thing that I do, I also attend another fellowship, and it's last Friday of every month. It's over at 60th Street Baptist Church, and the music director over there, he started this concert out there. And it's a place where people come and play, and anybody who has an instrument or can play an instrument or can sing, you're welcome to come out there. And it's just a time of fellowship, and they close every one of those with amazing grace, with everybody overcame. I mean, it is, some of these fellowships out there, we miss out because we don't go out. It's not only going out and, because in order for us to be strong enough to go out and reach the lost, we have to be strengthened up. And this is what coming here in the morning does for me. This is what going to that Messianic service does for me. Going to my own service does for me. Going over to the coffee house does for me. Now, is that selfish? No. Because my purpose for that is to be able to be equipped to go out and seek and save the lost.
You know, I want to add to that. That, you know, throughout the years, and Elgin testified to that, and a lot of other people have been around for long, that during this meeting, where we've had in the past where somebody wanted to commit suicide or something was going on in their life, that because of the meeting, because of the fellowship that they had at that meeting, that particular day, that they didn't do what they were going to do. Because they needed that. They needed the word. And that's why it's so important that when we are a theatrical spectacle to the world, people see, people hear. Then, you know, you don't know. Many of you have ever heard of maybe somebody's working in a factory or a job, and you're the man that reads the Bible, or you're the holy roller, and God has met with you, or whatever. But when they're in the need, they go to the holy roller. We talk to the holy roller. And so, again, we are the special to the world, to the angels. And so that we always, the opportunity, the reason that we've been doing this for all these years, is the fact that, is that because of that, because of this year, people's lives have been changed, they've been born, people have said, like Christ, we had like that Catholic guy, you know, and a great guy and I, and so many different things that have a testimony of that came out of this, and that's why as we gather, that we remember those things, and it's nice to see each other, but we're here to iron sharpen iron, so it's a work. We're here to lift each other, encourage each other, and sometimes when you sharpen an iron, there's sparks, and you know, it's okay.
You start the fire.
It's okay. You know what? And for me, I want to just share with you guys, and I just want to thank you guys, because I've been in a state of depression for about a month, and so even being sick and still being sick, and a lot of other things going on in my head, you know?
Well, that's that super bottle.
Yeah. And but that's why the importance of when we gather here and not minimizing. Yes, sir.
I had a message driving here about our belief of faith. And it always goes right back to let go, let God. Now, I took that to me, but it could be more people here that need to hear that.
We all need to remind each other that all the time.
Okay, Pinky. Everybody say, everybody go like this. Come on. Come on, Fritz. Fritz, go like that, Fritz.
You gotta take it back.
Go ahead, Fritz.
Okay. I need to comment on a couple of things. One is, you read the scripture, Phil brought a scripture today, 1-4, rise and shine as a light of the Lord.
Good song.
Yes. There's something really important about that scripture. I don't know if you know about this. This is the way we own it. Okay. Have you heard the term festival nations?
Yes.
The festival of nations. Okay, well if you notice that when the tribes of Israel all came together, there was a festival that they celebrated when the nation was divided into 12 tribes out there. Okay, that festival of nations is another term that you might know it as. If you're understanding the timeline of God, the Jewish nation, this is a real version. Okay, and I'll show you how significant this is. Phil read the scripture up, because I don't think he realized that scripture ties to Sukkot. Okay? Well, we right now are in Sukkot. Okay? So, the festival of booths. trying to get across here is this is these individual tribes had their own leaders, their own people that worship the Lord from each of them. Okay? It would be like 12 different denominations coming together, coming around to regather. That's what they were doing, they were gathering all together before the war, you know. And the point I'm trying to get across here is when you go to the dysfunctional display that we've been talking about, you've got other Christians doing the same thing, okay? And what God is trying to do is to talk to them, get his message across. I mean, you might not know it, you might share scripture like Bill just did, with very important scripture, so certain people can understand what's going on with that scripture, okay? And thereby, Bill did his part by just bringing it up. But you see, if Romeo might understand more about the situation, because he's meeting in a messianic group where they're going to be having a lot of